Imagine dropping five figures on something that will literally end up in a dumpster 24 hours later.
It is wild.
It's just a staggering reality, you know? The traditional wedding flower industry is intense. Welcome to the BitCop podcast.
Yes, welcome.
I'm your host, Annabelle, and joining me is my powerhouse co-host, Bill Pitcott.
We are completely obsessed with unpacking the ultimate life hacks just for you.
We really are. And today we are bringing you an absolute goldmine of information that comes directly from the bestseller ebooks on our ebook store.
Oh, there's so much good stuff in there.
Literally a goldmine. Visit www.pitcott.com/books to download. But before we dive in, subscribe to our channel if you haven't. Activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. And don't forget to click on the stars below to give us a rating. We appreciate you giving us a five-star rating to propel this podcast to help others too.
It makes a huge, huge difference for us, so thank you.
Absolutely. So today's deep dive is all about securing those, you know, jaw-dropping, gorgeous magazine spread wedding florals.
But without completely draining your life savings in the process.
Right. Because the data from our Pitcott source is just, it's wild to look at.
It really is. I mean, the average couple right now spends between $1,500 and $3,000.
Which is already a lot.
Oh, for sure. But then there are plenty of people who are casually dropping $10,000 or even like $15,000. On flowers alone.
Just on flowers. I mean, the wedding industry totally thrives on that emotional upsell, don't they?
Oh, 100%. They know you are exhausted by making a million decisions.
Yeah, decision fatigue is so real.
Right. And they basically rely on the assumption that you will just, you know, throw money at the problem to make it go away.
Exactly. But I think the paradigm shift that we really need to embrace here is that optimizing your floral budget isn't about being cheap.
No, not at all.
It's about being smart. It is about keeping that cash for like your down payment on a house or an amazing honeymoon.
Or securing that elite photographer you've been dreaming of.
Yes. Pictures actually last forever. So to do that, we have to completely redefine what a wedding flower actually is.
Yeah. Redefining the materials is definitely step one.
Which brings us to faux flowers. And I know people hear that and panic.
Right. They think of the dollar store.
Yeah.
But the evolution of faux flowers over the last few years has fundamentally changed the game.
Completely.
I mean, if your reference point is still those stiff, sort of shiny plastic stems from 20 years ago, you really have to look at what is happening now.
Oh, it's night and day. Premium synthetics today are engineered from like high-grade latex.
Yeah, latex, specialized foam, and these really sophisticated polyester blends.
And the manufacturing process has gotten so advanced, the Pitcott source mentions that artisans actually hand-paint individual petals.
Wait, really? Hand-painted?
Yes, hand-painted, just to ensure they get the natural color variations and those slight imperfections that you see in real blooms.
That is incredible. And that texture shift is everything. I mean, because they replicate the actual weight and density of a living flower.
Exactly. Which means you can deploy what is basically the ultimate hybrid hack.
Mixing them together, right?
Yes. Mixing real and faux blooms in the exact same arrangement. Nobody can tell.
That is so smart. Because if you intersperse real lush greenery and a few highly fragrant fresh flowers with those premium latex roses,
your brain just fills in the gaps. The human eye blends the textures completely together.
Right. Nobody will be able to distinguish the synthetic from the organic.
And from a psychological standpoint, using faux stems gives you so much peace of mind.
Oh, definitely. You can arrange your pieces weeks or, I mean, even months in advance.
Which completely eliminates that horrible Thursday night panic over a delayed floral shipment.
Or flowers wilting in the heat.
Exactly. Now, I think another major way we need to redefine wedding florals is challenging this bizarre trend of carrying massive bouquets.
Oh my gosh, yes.
It's like carrying a small shrub down the aisle. I see these huge, heavy bouquets completely swallowing the bride's silhouette.
It's so true. It distracts from the actual person.
Right. So why not treat wedding florals like a capsule wardrobe?
Oh, I like that analogy.
Instead of 20 mediocre pieces, you just curate fewer exceptionally high quality, intentional elements.
That capsule wardrobe framework applies perfectly to floral design. A compact, highly intentional bouquet draws the eye exactly where you want it to go.
Yes. And the mechanics of this are pretty simple. You just select two or three absolute standout fresh flowers.
Like a massive King Crodea, maybe?
Yeah, or a couple of perfect garden roses. And then you just build out the negative space with structural greenery, elegant ribbons, or textural things like berries.
It is visual restraint at its finest.
It really is. Even something as minimalist as a single stem arrangement works wonders. You know?
Like in a bud vase.
Exactly. One single flawless dahlia or a sculptural orchid just isolated in a sleek bud vase.
It forces the viewer to actually look at the flower's architecture.
Right. It reads as a highly confident, very modern design choice.
And the fact that it costs a fraction of a massive centerpiece,
yeah,
it's just a wonderful byproduct of that good design.
Totally. And when we examine texture, the Pitcot source also emphasizes the massive resurgence of dried florals.
Oh, dried florals are everywhere right now.
They really are. Materials like pampas grass, bunny tails, dried wheat, and lavender.
They work so beautifully because they introduce this tactile bohemian warmth to the room.
Right. And unlike fresh flowers, which are, you know, largely smooth and full of water, dried elements catch the lighting differently.
Yeah, they add volume and structure. And the best part, they won't ever wilt.
Which means you can keep those elements indefinitely. You can put them in your living room after the wedding.
Exactly. So if we are mixing faux, fresh, and dried materials, the sourcing logistics could easily become a total nightmare if you just start buying things randomly.
Oh, absolutely. Getting ahead of the retail markup requires really aggressive early planning.
I imagine a highly granular master spreadsheet is basically non-negotiable here.
It is your absolute best defense against impulse buying. You cannot just write down flowers on a list.
No, you had to itemize everything.
Everything. The bridal bouquet, every single bridesmaid bouquet, the boutonnieres, the corsages.
The table centerpieces, the ceremony arch, the aisle markers.
The cake flowers. People always forget the cake flowers. And the toss bouquet.
By assigning a strict dollar amount and a specific stem count to every single category, you gain total negotiating power.
You know precisely what you need, which prevents you from adding random extras when you are, you know, under pressure.
Right, because otherwise you get hit with the realization 3 days before the event that nobody ordered the cake flowers.
And suddenly you are paying a massive premium for a rush order. But once that spreadsheet is locked, you can start leveraging wholesale flower markets.
Yes, the wholesale markets are incredible. The Pitcot source mentions that buying wholesale can slash your costs by 50% or more compared to full-service retail florists.
50% is a massive chunk of money.
It is. Mm-hmm. And to understand why the savings are so deep, you have to look at the floral supply chain.
Okay, break that down for us.
Well, when you hire a traditional retail florist, you aren't just paying for the physical flower. You are paying for their storefront overhead.
Right, the rent, the utilities.
Exactly. Plus the commercial cold storage facilities and the massive percentage of dead stock they have to throw away when it doesn't sell.
Oh, I didn't even think about the dead stock.
Yeah, and you're paying for the extensive labor required to just process and hydrate the stems before they even start arranging. Wholesale sites allow you to bypass that entire chain.
They just ship bulk, unprocessed flowers directly to you.
Yep. They even offer complete DIY kits now, which are basically floral building blocks that come pre-portioned.
Oh, wow. So they give you exactly what you need for a specific arrangement.
Exactly. With detailed tutorial videos and support.
Okay, but let's be realistic about the skill ceiling here. What if someone is absolutely terrified of ruining their own wedding flowers?
That's a fair point.
Because tackling a massive, structurally complex ceremony arch when you have zero floristry experience sounds like a recipe for a total breakdown.
Oh, 100%. If you aren't naturally crafty, taking on the entire wholesale DIY route is incredibly risky.
So what's the solution?
This brings us to the hybrid approach. It is entirely about risk mitigation.
I love the sound of that.
You leverage the wholesale discount for the low stakes, repetitive tasks.
Like the simple aisle markers.
Right. Aisle markers, single stem bud vases, basic table greenery. These require very little technical skill.
Anyone can drop a stem into a vase.
Exactly. Then you allocate a targeted portion of your budget to hire a professional florist strictly for the high pressure, mechanically complex items.
Like your bridal bouquet or that massive ceremony arch.
Yes. It is the perfect compromise. Professional polish where the cameras are focused and wholesale savings everywhere else.
That is brilliant. Now, before we talk about how to optimize the rest of the venue, we need to pause for a very important reminder. Visit www.pitcot.com.
And please subscribe to our channel if you haven't and activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. Also, press the like button and rate us if you love our show. It helps in the recommendation algorithm so others can access it too. And don't forget to click on the stars below to give us a rating.
Okay, diving right back into this deep dive. Even with wholesale pricing and a hybrid model, the absolute most effective way to cut your floral budget is to simply require fewer flowers.
That makes sense. Just buy less.
Right. And the fastest way to do that is to let the venue's architecture do the heavy lifting.
The concept of borrowing from the venue. This is crucial in the Pitcot source.
It really is. If you book a space with inherent visual interest, you drastically reduce your need for imported decor.
Think about an autumn wedding at a vineyard.
Oh, gorgeous.
The turning grapevines out in the fields provide a massive, colorful backdrop. You don't need much else.
Or a spring garden wedding where the landscaping is already fully blooming all around you.
It's like having a free decorator.
It totally is. I mean, you wouldn't buy an enormous expensive painting just to cover up a floor-to-ceiling window overlooking a mountain, right?
No, that would be crazy.
You shouldn't compete with the existing natural beauty. You just supplement it.
And this applies indoors, too.
Oh, for sure. If your venue is a well-lit barn with gorgeous exposed structural beams, or maybe a dramatic sweeping staircase.
Or an elaborate crystal chandelier.
Yes. The room is already decorated. You just need to accent it, not cover it up.
And once you are accenting that space, the logistics of double duty decor can easily cut your required inventory by another 30%.
Oh, I love the repurposing hack.
The reality is that your ceremony flowers are only viewed for about 30 minutes.
Just 30 minutes. And then after the vows, that space is completely abandoned.
Leaving $1,000 worth of flowers sitting at an empty altar is terrible resource management.
It really is. So the repurposing hack requires establishing a clear logistical map.
You basically assign a trusted friend or a day of coordinator to move those pieces during the cocktail hour.
Right. So your aisle markers are physically picked up and dropped into the center of your reception tables.
And they instantly become your centerpieces.
Yes. And your bridesmaids just drop their bouquets into pre-placed empty vases that are waiting on the head table.
Which creates a massive, gorgeous floral runner for free.
For free. And nobody at the reception will ever realize they are looking at the exact same flowers they saw during the ceremony.
It's so smart. Now, when it comes to the actual design of those pieces, leaning into a greenery-forward aesthetic is arguably the smartest financial and visual choice you can make.
Oh, I'm a huge fan of greenery. Foliage is grown faster and in much higher densities than premium flowers,
making it significantly cheaper by the bunch.
And it brings such an incredible organic texture to the tables.
The Pitcot source specifically recommends utilizing eucalyptus.
Oh, I love eucalyptus. The smell is amazing.
Yeah, both the standard varieties and the gorgeous seeded eucalyptus. They are perfect for those long, dramatic table runner garlands.
You can also mix in ferns, trailing ivy, thick olive branches.
Oh, velvety dusty miller is great too. And even fragrant culinary herbs like rosemary or mint.
That mix of textures works exceptionally well for garden style, rustic, or bohemian aesthetics.
It does. Greenery provides necessary volume, and structurally, it is far hardier than delicate flower petals.
Right. It withstands the heat and lack of water much longer. So if you are utilizing this greenery and taking the DIY route for your centerpieces, you have to approach the assembly strategically.
You cannot treat the DIY assembly as a stressful chore.
No, you have to reframe it as a core wedding memory. I love the concept of the DIY pizza party.
The DIY pizza party. Yes. The logistics of this are entirely about preparation. You don't just wing it on a Thursday night.
Please do not wing it. You have to do a dry run weeks in advance using cheap grocery store flour.
Just to understand the mechanics, right?
Yes, to practice taping the grids on your vases and stripping the leaves from the stems so you aren't learning on the spot.
And the preparation on the actual assembly day is what prevents the stress.
You ensure all your buckets are scrubbed completely clean to prevent bacteria from clogging the flower stems.
Right, and you pre-fill them with fresh water. You lay out your sharp floral shears, the wire, the tape.
Then you build exactly one sample arrangement to serve as the master template.
Only one.
Just one. And you photograph that master template from the top, the sides, and the front.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
Right. That way, when your friends and family arrive, you order pizza, put on a great playlist, and hand them the photos.
They have an exact visual guide to replicate.
Exactly. It turns a logistical hurdle into a really sweet communal experience with your loved ones.
It distributes the labor while creating a shared memory. I love that. But as you are designing these pieces with your family, you need to understand the statement piece strategy.
Oh, this is crucial. It is such a common mistake to take a limited budget and spread it evenly across 20 different tables.
Which results in 20 highly forgettable, very sparse arrangements.
I always point this out. Nobody is pausing to take an elegant selfie next to the tiny, sad floral arrangement by the restroom doors.
Exactly. If you dilute your budget, you dilute the impact.
From a design perspective, you need visual anchoring.
So instead of 20 weak arrangements, you concentrate your funds into one massive, show-stopping installation.
Like a dramatic, towering ceremony arch.
Or a dense, cascading floral piece spilling off the head table.
Or an immersive, suspended installation hanging directly over the dance floor.
Because that single statement piece is going to dominate the background of almost every professional photograph and guest selfie.
Yes. Once you secure that massive focal point, you can confidently fill the rest of the venue with very simple greenery, clusters of romantic pillar candles, and high-quality textured linens.
The contrast actually makes the statement piece look even more impressive.
It creates a clear hierarchy of design. But, you know, navigating the execution of a statement piece usually requires bringing in a professional.
Which brings us to the final major hurdle. The logistical reality of budgets, calendars, and transportation.
The budget conversation is where so many people sabotage themselves.
How so?
Well, there is this pervasive fear that if you tell a professional florist you only have, say, $1,500, they will judge you.
Oh, right.
Or worse, people think the florist will just inflate their prices to consume the entire budget without giving you actual value.
The Pidcot source addresses this perfectly. It is a completely counterproductive fear.
Hiding your budget forces the florist to guess.
And that usually leads to them designing something you cannot afford, which results in really awkward revisions.
Florists are masters of mechanics. They love a creative challenge. If they know your hard limit, they can strategically substitute an expensive ranunculus with a cheap carnation.
Right. If you mass carnations together, they achieve the exact same ruffled texture.
Exactly. But to protect yourself, you must demand fully itemized quotes.
A lump sum quote hides a multitude of hidden costs.
Yeah.
You need the itemized breakdown to expose exactly what they are charging for.
You have to separate the vase rentals from the actual blooms.
And you need to see the line items for delivery, the on-site setup labor, and those late-night breakdown fees.
Once you have those granular numbers, you can actually compare different florists fairly.
And while you are doing that comparison shopping, do not ignore local agriculture.
Oh, this is a fantastic tip.
Depending on your region, small-scale flower farms will often sell directly to the public.
You completely bypass the international cargo flights and the commercial wholesalers.
The UPIC flower farms, or the bulk bucket options at local farmers markets, are absolute gold mines.
Not only are the prices substantially lower because there are no shipping logistics involved, but the stems are incredibly fresh.
Yeah, they haven't been sitting in a dormant state in a cargo plane for 3 days.
Plus, you are keeping your money inside your local economy.
But buying local means you are bound by the laws of seasonality and the calendar.
Yes, the calendar trick is vital. The date you choose for your wedding dictates your floral budget almost as much as your stem count does.
If you book a wedding within 10 days of Valentine's Day, you are competing with a global supply chain demand that literally triples the price of roses.
Triples it. And Mother's Day weekend is just as brutal because the floristry infrastructure is stretched to its absolute breaking point.
December holidays drive up the cost of reds and whites. And trying to source lush, local blooms in the dead of January or February is nearly impossible in most climates.
So what is the ideal time?
The economic sweet spot falls in late spring, early summer, and early fall. This is when the growing seasons peak.
Supply is massive, which naturally drives the wholesale prices down.
And you have to align your expectations with that season. If you demand peonies, you must aim for late spring.
Midsummer is peak for sunflowers.
Right. And late summer into early fall is when dahlias absolutely explode in scale and color.
Fighting nature is the fastest way to bankrupt your floral budget.
It really is.
And even if you align everything perfectly, source the best local dahlias, and build the perfect statement piece, it can all be ruined by the silent killer.
Transportation logistics.
Yes. Fresh flowers are essentially living, breathing, incredibly delicate organisms.
The transpiration rate, the rate at which flowers lose water, skyrockets in a hot car.
If you are handling the transport yourself, climate-controlled logistics are absolutely mandatory.
You have to secure heavy-duty coolers, or insulated catering boxes.
The arrangements must be structurally secured upright so the fragile heads don't smash against the plastic.
And they must be kept entirely out of direct sunlight, which will scorch the petals right through a car window.
timing that transport is a science, too. You don't want to pick them up a week early.
Yeah, they'll die.
But you also don't want them still tightly closed in bud form on the morning of the wedding.
The optimal window is securing them 1 to 2 days prior.
That 24 to 48 hour window allows the stems to hydrate deeply in clean water.
And it gives the ambient room temperature time to coax the petals into fully opening.
Plus, it gives you a necessary buffer to replace anything that might have snapped during transit.
Without inducing a complete panic attack.
Exactly. Having that buffer is how you preserve your sanity. And when we zoom out and look at all these moving parts, the faux mixing, the spreadsheets, the repurposing hacks, the core ethos from the Pitcot source remains remarkably grounding.
It really does. Because at the end of the night, your guests are not going to audit the price tag of your table runners.
No, they won't remember if the peonies were imported or if the eucalyptus was from a local farm.
What they retain is the emotional resonance of the room. They remember the warmth of the lighting, the energy on the dance floor.
And the joy of the celebration. The flowers are merely the aesthetic frame around the actual picture.
And the picture is the couple.
Beautifully said. If you leverage these strategies to protect your budget, you get the beautiful frame, but you also maintain the financial security to actually enjoy the life you are building after the wedding.
Which is the whole point.
Right. But before we wrap up, I want to leave you with a fascinating concept to consider.
Oh, what is it?
As weddings shift toward highly immersive, non-traditional experiences, I wonder if the concept of the heavy, handheld bridal bouquet is on its way to becoming completely obsolete.
Oh, wow. Moving away from a handheld arrangement changes the entire physical dynamic of walking down the aisle.
Imagine a future focused entirely on hands-free floral integration. We could be looking at the rise of elaborate, wearable, living floral jewelry woven right into the dress.
Or even fully immersive botanical light projections, mapping a digital garden directly onto the aisle as you walk.
Yes. It would completely revolutionize how we interact with floral art.
That level of integration would certainly eliminate the need to figure out where to put your bouquet during the ring exchange.
True. It's an incredible progression to think about. The evolution of design never stops. Thank you for listening to the Pitcot Podcast. I will leave a link in the description below.
Visit www.pitcot.com.
And please, subscribe to our channel if you haven't and activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. Also, press the like button and rate us if you love our show. It helps in the recommendation algorithm so others can access it too. Thank you for being there with us, and don't forget to click on the stars below to give us a rating.